We've been talking about destiny and purpose, and it's been mentioned a couple of times about finding yourself in the Word. And I was always used as the example, so we thought that it might be good to go in more depth about what we had meant by that and what was said and kind of how you go about doing that, getting some practical steps in place. I talk fast, so I'm going to try and talk slower, but I always still end up talking fast. So, but that's okay, because the Holy Spirit will interpret and tell you what you need to know. So I'm going to just start in Luke 4, 16 through 21, and that's where Jesus is demonstrating finding yourself in the Word, and where he's showing us that it's, you know, it's something, if Jesus did it, then it's obviously something that all of us can and should do. And so in Luke 4, he went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went to the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And that's a direct quote from Isaiah 61. And one of the things I like about that is that it's not one of the Messiah prophecies. Like, it's not a place where they talked about the government's going to be on his shoulder, he's going to be conceived of a virgin. This is something talking about Israel and their restoration. And so Jesus found himself in the Word, and my thought would be, well, yeah, the Old Testament's full of prophecies. But he went in and he found a place that wasn't necessarily specifically a prophecy about the Messiah, and he made it his own, and he said, "This is what I'm here to do." And so before I go into some of the practical steps, I just wanted to read some scriptures. I'm going to start with Isaiah 49:1. And then it says that before I was born, the Lord called me, and from my birth, he had made mention of my name. So before anything began, you know, before I was born, before I was, you know, before my birth happened, God knew me, and he mentioned my name. That kind of goes back to Jeremiah 29:11 about, you know, "I have a plan for you." I always want to quote Jeremiah 1:5 about, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." But, you know, but it just goes back. Jeremiah says a couple of times about, "You've always had a plan for me, and you've always known me." I'm going to read all of Psalms 139. So, because that's a really good scripture, too, because it just talks about how the number of my days were mentioned and everything before I was even there. So Psalms 139:1, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. And if I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, 'Surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me,' even the darkness will not be dark to you, and the night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. If only you, God, would slay the wicked. Away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, Lord, and abhor those who are in rebellion against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me into the way everlasting." When I went to Bible school, I guess it was almost 2 years ago now when I started, they read the scripture a lot. Like, they read the whole entire Psalms. And I remember, like, each person in class getting something different from that. But all of us were getting, like, "He's known me forever, and I can't get away from him. And his purpose and his destiny doesn't go away and it doesn't change. And a lot of the people in my class were about my age. We were all like mid-20s. They had classes before that were like 18-year-olds, and they had classes before that were a lot older. So, but we were all in that kind of unique stage in life where we're all like, okay, I'm an adult now. I'm grown up. Shouldn't I be doing more with my life? And kind of that place where you're going, especially for me, it's like, okay, I've grown up in church, and I know what I'm called to do, and I'm still an accountant at KCM, which is a great job. And I'm not like, I mean, that is a calling unto itself, but, you know, I've grown up going, I'm called to the nations, and I've been to one. And so, like, for me especially, that all my days ordained for me, and they were written in your book before I ever saw them. Just a reminder that God's plan is eternal, and that he doesn't follow our timeline, and that, you know, no matter how old or young we feel, he's never done with us. And no matter what our history has been, no matter what our future looks like, that God has his own plan and his own purposes. Jeremiah 31:3, he says that I've loved you with an everlasting love, and I've drawn you to myself with loving kindness. And at this point, it's Jeremiah talking to Israel. And as we all should know by now, Israel was really bad about staying on plan with God. They would constantly be like, we love you, Jesus. And then they'd be like, well, they didn't know Jesus, but, you know, we love you, God. And then I'm going to go worship that guy over there. But God constantly was like, but I've drawn you to myself, and I'm going to restore you, and I'm going to rebuild you. Even Isaiah 54:10 talks about my covenant is everlasting, and even if the mountains fall apart, even if the hills shake, that my love and my covenant doesn't change. And then Psalms 89:30-37, he's talking to David, but he says, even if his sons forsake my law and do not follow my statutes, if they violate my decrees and fail to keep my commands, I will punish their sin with the rod, their iniquity with flogging, but I will not take my love from him, nor will I ever betray my faithfulness. I will not violate my covenant or alter what my lips have uttered. Once for all, I have sworn by my holiness, and I will not lie to David, that his line will continue forever, and his throne endure before me like the sun. It will be established forever like the moon, the faithful witness in the sky. And we all know that God's not a respecter of persons. If you don't know that, God is not a respecter of persons. And once he's promised something, he's going to do it. So God's got a plan, and he's got a purpose, and it's in his word. And so it's not, you know, and it's not over. It doesn't change, whatever happens. When I was in school, a girl told me one time that something that just really ministered to me. She's like, okay, God's got a blueprint. So this is his blueprint. And so as long as you're working with God, he's going to start building the, you know, if it's got a basement, he's going to start digging the basement. He's going to call in the workers. He's going to start building the walls. And then if you say, nope, I'm done with that, I'm going to go do this other thing, God's going to respect the fact that you just walked off the work site, that you went over there, or you decided to get a beach chair and put it in the middle of his foundation, and you're not going to let him lay the floor. But God being God, he's going to be like, come on, I need you to get out of the way. I need you to get out of the way. And then the day that you decide, okay, maybe I should let you lay this floor, God. The workers may be different, and the time of day and the month may be different, but the blueprint's still the same. And so whatever happens and whatever changes you come across, God's blueprint is always the same, which is one of the reasons why I think it's important to find yourself in the Word, because we know that he doesn't lie and it doesn't change, and it starts with this. Even in Peter, in 2 Peter 1, he talks about a more sure word of prophecy, and about how the word of God is that sure foundation. So just a couple of kind of practical things. We've kind of been talking about how God's plan doesn't change, and, you know, why it's important to find what God says about you. Something else that really ministers to me in that context is John 10:10. A lot of times you hear people talk about he's come to give you life and life more abundantly, and the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and at that same time, we kind of disconnect, and then later on, we'll come back and we'll hear about how the good shepherd speaks, and you hear his voice, and you know his voice, and you follow his commands. But if you connect those, what it's saying is the sheep hear his voice, they know his voice, they follow his commands, and that voice is a voice of love and life. So if you're hearing someone speak over you, and you're hearing someone saying your destiny and purpose is death or destruction, or if the devil's trying to speak stealing and killing, destroying, you know that's not the word of God. because the word is always life. So if you don't know where you're at in the word of God, I'm here today. Probably won't take me long to go over this, but you start by just reading the word. You just get in there and you read and you find out, you know, what's coming alive in your heart. When I was in college, I started reading Isaiah 54 like every day. And I did this for a whole school year. And I didn't know why I was doing this. I was just like, okay, God, this is where I'm supposed to be. I can feel it in my bones. This is where you have me. And so I would read other stuff, but at least once a day, Isaiah 54. And I knew it was for me, and I knew it had to do with what he was calling me to. And then I got out of college a couple years later, and all this stuff started happening in my life. I was in the emergency room. I was dealing with this issue. I was dealing with that issue. I was having, you know, like some, it wasn't self-esteem issues, but some of those, like, emotional issues that I was just like, I don't understand. And in that moment, God took me back to Isaiah 54, and he was like, remember when I talked to you about this, and remember when we went over this, and remember when I said your purpose was this and your destiny was that. And so in those moments when the devil was trying to lie to me, and he was trying to steal and kill and destroy, I had that word, and it was alive in my heart because I put it in there and because I knew it was mine. Another way is if someone comes and they prophesy over you. A lot of times you'll hear someone prophesy and they'll be like, and I feel like this verse is really for you. I guess we talk a lot. It feels like we talk a lot about how Jeremiah 1 through 10 is for me. And I got that when I was a teenager, probably around 13, 14. And what happened was I had started, so we were in a prophetic church and we were going through prophetic training. And a couple people started giving me words from Jeremiah. Like, Dad was really big on Jeremiah 29:11 forever, which is good. It's a good verse. But, like, that was one that I was hearing a lot and I was understanding. And then someone else had talked to me about Jeremiah, where he talked about, like, it's a fire shut up in my bones and I can't hold it in any longer. And then someone else came up and started talking about Jeremiah when he says that if you call unto the Lord, he will answer you your cries. And I think it's 33:3. And so I'd been hearing a lot of Jeremiah. I was like, everywhere I turned was Jeremiah. And then I think the first person to bring up Jeremiah 1 was the youth pastor up in Rhode Island. He worked with Lance Wall now, and they'd come down to our church in Richmond. And he's like, you know, I really feel like this passage of scripture is for you. And I read it, and it just, like, came alive inside of me. And I was like, this is it! This is who I am! And so, you know, that God uses so many things. A lot of times, I know, like, in school a lot of times, it would just be like, it'd be stuff like that. Like, everyone's talking about Jeremiah. What's going on with Jeremiah? And when I went to Thailand, it was like everyone was talking about the loaves and the fishes. And I don't know why, but, like, this person was prophesying over that person, and they talked about the loaves and the fishes. And then we went to church on Sunday, and the preacher talked about the loaves and the fishes. So I was like, okay, God, what are you talking about with the loaves and the fishes? And I know in that situation, with being in Thailand and, like, just giving everything. And I was just like, I think I'm dying, God. And I was not reacting well physically to the food and the humidity. And then we were not getting rest at all. We didn't have a very good schedule. And so we were all just, like, physically worn out. And then we're just pouring out spiritually, like, just pouring out and pouring out and pouring out, which is what we went to do. So it was good. But at some point you stop and you're just like, okay, God, I need something. I need a little something to make it through. And then study, but in being pointed out to the loaves and the fishes and studying it, I saw that what had happened in that scripture is the disciples had been out and they had been giving everything. And Jesus had, and they'd come back to Jesus and they had testified of his goodness. And he said, all right, now let's rest. And they were on their way to rest when the crowds gathered and Jesus started preaching. And so here are these disciples, they're tired, they've been told to rest, and now they have to serve these people food. But after they had served food, even in their weariness, even in their need to, you know, to be at rest, to get something themselves from Jesus, they chose to serve. They were given, each of them, a basket of fish and a basket of bread that met their needs. And so in that season, it was just like, that's what I needed to hear. And no matter how tired I am, no matter how much I'm giving, if I obey and I continue to serve like I have, you know, chosen to serve, that God's got my needs in the overflow. Another way to find yourself in the Word is if there's someone you identify with. Like, obviously, for me, it's Jeremiah. And so a lot of times if I'm going, I need something from God, I don't know what to read, I need a little destiny and purpose, I'll just go read Jeremiah. And eventually somewhere in there, I'll find something that talks to me. But, you know, if you're trying to figure out, like, maybe what do, like, I know I have a destiny, I know I have a purpose, and I have this verse and I have that verse, but I don't really see how it fits together. Like, start studying someone that you identify with. Like, if you identify with Peter, start reading about Peter. Like, what does the Bible say about Peter? What is Peter written in the Bible? And just go through, and don't look at, like, the stereotypes. Like, a lot of people think about Peter, well, he's the person who denied Jesus. And he's the person that Jesus said something about the rock of the church being built on. But you may get to reading about Peter and find out that that moment at the beautiful gate when he said, silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give to you, like that might be the moment that comes alive in your heart and be like, Peter the healer, that's who I am. Or, you know, you can read about Esther and you can think about like, well, Esther's a queen. I'm not exactly going to go out and get married to a king and save all of Israel. But there's other things in there that the Holy Spirit will reveal to you that no one else may even see, because it's for you specifically. So Graham Cook came to Convergence, and he was preaching about inheritance words, which is basically what he calls it when there's that word in Scripture that's just for you. And he says if you don't have one, just open Psalms. There's 150 of them. You're bound to find one. So I haven't tried that, but I'm sure it would work. Because if you're looking, you will find. That's also a promise in the Bible. But really, the point kind of being is that if you don't know who he says you are, you can never really be who he says you are. And having that foundation in the Word, having that thing outside of yourself that never changes, it just gives you something to latch on to no matter what's going on. Some prophecies that a prophet may give you are conditional. It may depend on outside of yourself, someone doing something. It may depend on obedience, it's seasons of life. It may be something that it's going to happen, but it's 20 years from now. Prophecies are great, and they should definitely be used as, you know, an anchor to your destiny. But the Word is more sure. The Word doesn't change. And when God speaks to you and he brings that alive in your heart, that's, to me, as a person who has been prophesied over and prophesied, I still think of the Word as being more than just a prophecy. Because it's the Holy, it's alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's God's love letter to me, and prophets can get it wrong, but God never does. So, just one final note. I feel like I'm talking really fast and marathoning. I know, that's just who I am. Is a way kind of just how do you hold on to that? Is, you know, you like again, read the Word, listen to the Word, get the Word in you. But something that in my small group that we talked about is when you have that inheritance word, when you have that prophecy, when you have that thing that you know is yours and no one else can take it, and it's based on the Word of God, like confess it, like speak it over yourself. We did in our small group, we took those words. And we wrote out a self-prophecy, which wasn't really a self-prophecy. It was, you know, a declaration of our purpose and the prophecy and the promises of God. And we just wrote out things like, you know, I am a daughter of the King who has been called to be a prophet to the nations and a worshiper and like just in the heart of God, loving him, bringing intimacy and changing atmospheres, that I know that I have been called to speak to the church and to bring healing to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind. And I don't remember what mine was, but just speaking those things, like if your scripture is Jeremiah, you know, 1:10, then saying, I was called to build up the things that need to be built up of God, and I was called to tear down the works of the enemy, and I was called to restoration, and just get the word in your mouth and speak it over yourself, because I've found through personal experience that it's like it strengthens your spirit, but it's almost like your flesh can't help but go that way. Even James talks about, you know, the tongue being a little member, but it can set fire to the body. And it's just that steering wheel. And it's like, and the more you hear it, the more you believe it. It's like when you start speaking that over yourself, you may not believe it at first. You might be like, okay, this is who I want to be, but this is not who I am. But the more you give place to that, and the more you speak to that, and the more you call it into being, the more you start to believe it. And the more you believe it, the more you act on it. And the more you act on it, the more you become it. And so it's just this cycle that starts happening where you're speaking it and you're believing it and you're becoming it. And so now you're taking one step and now you're taking another. And then one day you turn around and you go, oh, wait, I really am that thing. So we are going to go back into worship. We've got a couple more songs and we've got communion set out. Dad mentioned last week that he wanted everyone to take communion over their purpose and their destiny as a family. If you got a chance to do that before, that's great. And if not, you know, like I said, we have communion out there. Because we really, our heart is really for everyone to know their purpose and to know their destiny and do what they can to fulfill it and go after it, regardless of what that may look like or sound like or feel like, because we know that that's what God created you to be. And so that's what you need to be and what we want you to be. So I'm just going to, yeah. I'm going to pray and we'll start the music. God, we thank you that you are good and that your mercy endures forever, that you love us and that you've called us to yourself with that loving kindness. That no matter what it feels like or looks like or sounds like, you are calling us into destiny and you are calling us into purpose and you are leading us there and bringing us into that place. And God, once again, we dedicate our lives to you. Yes. We dedicate our future and our purpose and our steps every day to who you've called us to be. And we just give you all the praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.